All right. Well, hey, everyone. I'm excited to be with you today. I'm excited to share and speak to you. So I just want to first start out by honoring my husband and saying, man, what an amazing job you do every week, speaking and teaching and taking what the Lord has laid on your heart and communicating that in such a amazing, just anointed way. And so I just want to honor Pastor Scott, thank you for how much you pour into each person every week. You are a gift, and I love you, and so many people love you and appreciate you, and we really would not be the church that we are without you. So you're amazing, Pastor Scott. I am excited, you guys, about talking about slowing down. We've been in a series now for 5 weeks. This is our fifth week of our Slow Down Spirituality series, and we've talked about some pretty amazing things. The first week, Pastor Scott did an amazing job of laying a foundation for why do we need to slow down and just kind of getting us in this place of really acknowledging and realizing, hey, this is something we need to learn how to do. And then the next week, right, we talked about symbiosis and this idea that we have a role that we need to play in our spiritual journey that nobody else can play for us. So love that. Then talking about the process of success and what is success? What does success really look like? What does that even mean? So check these out, guys. You can check all of these out on our website. You can go back. You can listen to them as many times as you want to. If you missed any of these, you can go back and check them out. They're on our website. They're on our app. There's a lot of different places that you can find this, these series, but they're worth the listen. And then last week we talked about worship and how worship is a weapon of spiritual warfare and continuing to really stir ourselves and challenge ourselves in how we worship, what do we worship, and really stretching us in growing in this idea of worship and obviously attributing worship first and foremost to God. And so good. And today I am so excited to talk to you about the idea of slowing down. We're in Slow Down Spirituality, but slowing down in our relationships. And so those are really, we're going to be talking about two primary relationships, right? Our relationship with God and then our relationship with people. And what does that look like? And honestly, a really practical front, like what are some really practical ways that we can slow down spiritually with God and with people? So I'm excited. I need this. That's really the truth, right? The best messages are the ones that you need and that you live. And so this idea of slowing down is honestly up until 2020, when so many of us were literally forced, our lives came to a screeching halt. I'll just say this for me, like this idea of slowing down, I had heard about it and I aspired to do it one day. I think everyone has aspirations of slowing down in the American culture. Slowing down, right, for us is when we get to retirement. It's like, well, that's when we can actually finally rest and slow down. And so slowing down was not anything that I really had on my radar. I'm in busy years of life, you know, raising children and building careers and being married and all of these, you know, things that they're time consuming. And you want to get the most out of life, right? I want to experience life. I want to pack it in. I want to be a hard worker. I like being driven. Like I like moving fast. I like cramming as much in as I can. And I really liked living that way for a really long time. But honestly, in the last, I'll speak about this a little bit more, but as the years have gone on, it started to really wear on me to the point where it was noticeable. And I'll actually talk about that a little bit more later, but slowing down was not on my radar. And so 2020 came along. And there's also all those things, right, that you want to do, that you want to spend more time on, or hey, when things slow down, or I'm going to slow down, I'm going to put my time and my attention to that. And so when 2020 hit, right, and we were all locked down and quarantined, it was actually amazing, and it was an amazing opportunity. And obviously we know there were so many things about it that have not been amazing, but what was amazing for so many of us was this instant amount of margin that we had in our life and this instant slowdown that happened to so many of us. And I know I have heard over and over and over and over, and I know everybody feels a little bit bad for liking any part of the pandemic because, you know, that people have suffered and it's been really traumatic. And so there's a part of you that feels bad for saying that you like it. But I know a lot of people feel this way, that what you did like was obviously not the trauma, but what you did like was the slowdown and the margin and the permission to slow down. As I was praying about coming into here or coming in and just speaking to everyone, it felt like the word permission came to my heart, this idea of how do we get permission to slow down? Because our society does not give us permission to slow down. It's who, right? No days off. I talked about this, I don't know, a year ago when I spoke, right? There's this YouTube show that's literally called No Day Off. And it's for kid athletes who are trying to become these professionals, and it's no day off. And I think it does it actually more than just kids. But the idea, right, is don't take a day off because you want to be the best, right? He who works the hardest wins. Who can grind the hardest? They're the ones that are going to win. That's the message that has been just ingrained in us over and over and over. And I know that is deeply ingrained in me, so much so that like I value, you know, I had a huge value for being a hard worker. It was definitely a part of my identity. And then, but the idea of like being really good at like taking time off and caring for myself and enjoying life, that was not a high value for me. And so when 2020 came around and we had margin, I felt like a fresh breath of air come into me. And immediately I thought, what are things that I want to put in my life in a more strategic, just established way? What are things that have been on that, oh, when I get more time, or I wish I had more time, and if I had more time, this is what I would do. What are some of those things, and how can I slam them into place really quick before this margin goes away and try to practice them as much as I can during that time? And so today, right, we're talking about slowing down in relationships and permission to do that. I want to first start out by saying, who is going to give you permission? This is something that I've struggled with for a long time also. Like I feel like I'm waiting for someone to tell me like I have permission to do certain things. And there's something called adulthood, I think, that gives you permission to make choices like never before. And most of the people listening to this are adults, which means whether you like to believe it or not, you're very much in charge of what you do with your time. Now, I understand if you have kids and responsibilities and all that, that shapes what you do with your time. But many of us are much more in charge of our time than we allow ourselves to believe. And so first of all, permission to start to shape your world and use your time the way that you need to care for yourself. But we're going to start here, and we're going to first talk about slowing down to be with God. And that is circling back to 2020. You know, I've grown up my whole life as a Christian. I knew God time was a big deal. I knew quiet time was a big deal. I've always heard that. And I aspired to do that. I did that on a regular basis. However, it was not at the consistency that I knew I wanted it to be. And so when 2020 hit, it was like, okay, we're going to dig into here like never before. And this is going to become, it's not going to be the you're jumping on and you're being really, really consistent and then you're falling off and then you're on and you're off. And I'm going to do this Bible plan. I'm going to read through the Bible in a month. And you get really inspired. And then you fall off. It's like, no, how can we create a habit that is long term forever of being with God? So 2020, right? Opportunity, margin came along to really sink in. And again, right, when there's trauma and there's things going on, what do you run to? And for me, I ran to the Father to be with him during that time because I did not know what to do. So slowing down, so margin opened up. And so what do? Slow down and be with the Lord. And so slowing down, the number one most important place for us to slow down in our spiritual journey is slowing down to be with God. There's nothing else that's more important than that. And obviously, throughout this whole series, we've talked about that. We've talked about being a spiritual parasite. We've talked about being, Pastor Scott talked about it in the first series about slowing down and being with the Lord. But it's really something where it's like, guys, let's get to this. Like, let's get this and have it be something where it's not something that we fall off of. It becomes such a value, such a priority. It's really the most first and foremost foundational part of being a Christian, of being a spiritual being connected to a heavenly Father. There's nothing more important than this. There's nothing more important than slowing down to be with God. So, like, I don't know what anything else that you're doing in your life. If you're addicted to learning, like so many of us are, learning is amazing. Learning is phenomenal. Podcasts are amazing. Books are amazing. Going to conferences are amazing. Going to church services are amazing. Watching live streams are amazing. But they're no substitute for slowing down and getting alone with the Father. See, we can listen to a podcast on the go, right? We can listen. You might even be doing something while you're watching this live stream, multitasking, right? We can do things. We can be learners while we're moving, while we're still going fast. But you can't slow down and be with the Father fast. It's not fast. It needs space. It needs time. It needs margin. And lucky for you, like we talked about a little bit ago, you're way more in charge of your time and how you spend your time than maybe you acknowledge. So here's a really exciting thing. You have time to spend with God. Every single one of us has time to spend with God, which is really, really exciting. So taking that and prioritizing that and slowing down and going, there's nothing more important than going and being with the Father. Okay. I want to talk to you about this because Jesus often, right, it says in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Often, if the Son of God had to withdraw often, had to go and be with the Father, had to go and spend time with the Father, needed to get away and get alone. He needed to. It wasn't that he had to. And that's the thing about pulling aside with God. God doesn't need us to be with him. He's God. He doesn't need anything from us. It's all for us. It's all for us. You know, like I said, in 2020, where it was like, oh my gosh, this is traumatic. Where can I go? Where can I run to? I can run to the Father because that's a place of comfort, of direction, of peace in the middle of the storms. God didn't need me to run to him. I needed to be able to run to him. I needed to run into the arms of the Father. Are you guys stressed? Do you need direction? Do you need comfort? Do you need healing? Do you need wisdom and inspiration and strategy? God is waiting for you. We have the God of the universe who went through everything he needed to go through so that we could have a relationship with him, who daily, well, hourly, actually at any moment, is waiting for us to come and be with him. So why do we not take full advantage of that? Full advantage of the God of the universe wanting to be with us. So God time, we call it God time in our house, going and being with the Father, God time. God time for me, and I don't know what it looks like for everyone, but I'll just share a little bit of what it looks like for me. My God time is not obligatory in the sense of it's like, okay, I need to go and I need to read my chapters and I need to do my prayers, and there's nothing wrong with rhythms and routines and traditions, and they develop habits in us. But the thing about God, time with God, is it's a relationship. And that's where we're going to talk about slowing down in relationships, right? And why it needs time. Time, relationships take time. And so with God, for me, it's a relationship where I can go and I can sit with the Father and I can pour out my heart and I can go and I can say, oh my gosh, I have so many things that I'm trying to do today, God. What do I need to do? What do I not need to do? How do I sort this out? Father, I'm going to come and I'm going to slow down with my feelings. And that's something that God wants us to do with Him, to slow down with our feelings, to acknowledge our feelings, to use our feelings as an indicator to guide us to areas of our heart that might need work, that we might need to work through with Him, that we might need to process through, areas of our heart or places where we might need to go and we might need to process through forgiveness of someone, where we might need to process through hurt or emotions that are there. This is God time. This is time with the Father. Doesn't this sound wonderful to go and have a place where you can have help? He is the ultimate help and the ultimate comforter and the ultimate guide. And He's waiting for you every morning. And we can slow down with Him before we get swept up into the day, into the busyness. And we can get oriented and we can get our eyes set on a stable place in the horizon so that as the day comes and it wants to just kind of toss us around, we can have a stability in our hearts and our minds and our souls. So guys, if you're hearing anything, hear just an invitation, hear permission, hear an environment that is designed perfectly for you. God created you. He loves you. He knows you so intimately, and He wants to meet with you daily and grow in relationship with Him. But we have to slow down and make the time to do that, and we will never, ever, ever regret it. Can you imagine getting to heaven and God looking at you and saying, hey, I was there every day. I was there and I wanted to hang out with you and I wanted to talk with you and I wanted to lead you and guide you and I wanted to just speak truth to you and I wanted to help you discern between truth and lies and heal your heart and help you walk into forgiveness. And if you were mad at me, it's okay because I wanted you to be able to walk through forgiveness towards me and help sort out any of those emotions that were going on in you. I mean, he's like, I was there every day. And you're, and for us to be like, I'm so sorry, I was just too busy. I just don't want that to be for any of us something that is a reality, that one day when we meet God face to face, that we tell Him that we were too busy to spend time with Him. And so He loves you so much and He wants to be with you. Here's other ways that you can spend time with God: through soaping, through, well, you might not know what soaping is, through reading the Bible. And at Element Church, we do a system of reading the Bible called soaping. And many of you already know what this is, but we read one chapter a day, and then soaping is just scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And so it's just a little system to kind of help process through the Bible. And this is something that I shared in another environment, but you guys, we live in the most amazing time of history where we have so many resources at the tip of our fingers when it comes to reading the Bible. And if reading the Bible has been intimidating to you in the past, or you don't really know where to start, just start soaping with us. If you go right to our app, you can click on the soap guide. I have a problem with that word sometimes. Click on the soap guide, and it's just one chapter a day. And the thing about one chapter a day is if there's something that's confusing to you or you don't know, you can just, at the click of a button, you can look up a commentary today on your phone from some of the best scholars of the world and get this amazing Bible knowledge. You don't have to be afraid to read the Bible. There's so many resources that can help give extra explanation to it and help you understand what the context was. Who are they actually talking to? Is this descriptive of a time that was going on, or is this prescriptive? Are they telling us what to do and something that we need to do? There's just so much help available. And so for all of us who don't consider ourselves to be Bible scholars. The Bible doesn't have to be scary, but just small incremental things of carving out time to slow down with your Bible. And that's a part of being with the Father. The next thing that I want to talk about in regards to being with God is this idea of Sabbath. I started to allude to it a little bit in the start of the message, but I had been running so hard for so long, partly because I thought that that was what I should be doing, that that was the best way to live, that that was just what God wanted from me and what I was supposed to be doing. But I found myself not that long ago laying in my bed and just thinking about the sweetness of the day that I would be on my deathbed and knowing that I had made it through life and like feeling the permission to rest in that moment, feeling the ability to go, okay, I did it. Now I can rest. And looking back at that right now, it's just so sad, but so many of us live there because we don't feel the permission to rest. Whatever it is that's pushing you, or whether it's society or just responsibilities or whatever it is, we don't give ourselves the permission to rest. And so I discovered something amazing that many of you guys may know about already, or you may not know about, but it's something that God put in place thousands of years ago, and it's called Sabbath. It's a day of rest every week where God, the God of the universe, gives us permission to rest. Not only does he give us permission to rest, he gives us a commandment to rest because he knows that we need it. It's a 24-hour period of time where God gives us permission to rest, to delight, to enjoy his goodness, enjoy the goodness of the things that he's provided, to stop, to delight in him and our relationships and the gifts that he's given us. He has given us permission to rest, but we don't do it. We don't take advantage of it. And societally, we don't value it. But we're on a mission, and there's a lot of people starting to be on a mission to reinstate Sabbath back into our culture because we are so desperate. We so desperately need it. We weren't designed to operate this way. There's a story in a book that is such a good book. It's called Take Your Family Back by Jeff Bethke. It's a phenomenal book, but he was talking about Sabbath in there. Another book that does a great job, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Such a great book. But in this book by Jeff, he tells a story about in 1929. It's about September 29th, 1929. It says it was the last relaxed Sunday the citizens of the Soviet Union I'll kind of just paraphrase the story. He talked about how in the Soviet Union in 1929, Stalin actually did away with the 7-day work week. He wanted to be progressive. It was like, okay, well, if people are not working, then that means we're not being productive. So we're going to do away with this idea of Sundays. We're not going to waste time with families or resting or with religion or any of these things. We're going to keep working because that's how we're going to get ahead. And so they took it away for 11 years. They took away any sort of day of rest. And it was absolutely catastrophic to the society. Families were destroyed. Even the machines couldn't do it. Even the machines couldn't work continuously without breaking down. It was just an absolute disaster and a mess. And so there's other societies that have tried to do away with days of rest or rhythms. And we're not doing well at all with this in our society. So we need to fight to take back this gift. And how do you do this? You you prepare for it. You prioritize it. And in this book also, it was funny because they were given an example. They're like, well, we could never do that. We could never take a day where we were preparing to rest. Actually, not in this book, but in a different book, it was talking about how preparing for Sabbath is like preparing for a holiday. You prepare in advance, you get your meals prepared, you get your day prepared so that when the day actually comes, you can actually enjoy it. And the Bethke book was talking about how people are like, well, I could never do that. And they're like, well, you do it for football. You know, you do it for these other things where you spend all this time preparing and then you block out these certain amounts of time for these things that you attribute value to. And so it was just a kind of a playful way to continue to help us acknowledge like we have the ability to do these things. It's just continuing to go, wow, that is valuable. And I want to attribute value to that and prioritize it. And I'll just say we have implemented this into our family over the last, it's been maybe over a year now. And it has just been game changing. Our family loves, it's our favorite day of the week. Our children love it. We have had so many amazing family experiences together. I look forward to it every week. And I'm so thankful that God has given us this gift of rest. So the last thing that I want to touch on when it comes to, and really with Sabbath, it is a day to be with the Lord too. It's a day to take that extended slowdown time. And another opportunity to do that, another habit, another way to do slowing down with the Father is the idea of taking a silence and solitude retreat. And there is a woman by the name of Ruth Barton who wrote a great book on this concept, kind of gives you some guardrails of what to do during that time. But it's taking a 24 to 48 hour period of time where you go and you're exclusively alone with the Father, where you are just taking time and dedicating it to being alone with God, to hearing from God, taking time to shut off all of the noise from the world around you and go, I'm just going to go and I'm going to listen. I'm going to be refreshed by you. And we're just going to spend time together. And so that is a great, great habit. We're going to move on now to talking about slowing down in relationships. And there's so much, obviously, to touch on here. But what we're really going to touch on is this idea that relationships, they need moments of slowing down in order to really invest in your relationships. And so this does tie into, right, slowing down spiritually, because there's so much, like when you look at your relationships with your spouse or your children, let's just talk about some of those really intimate relationships. Think of your closest relationships in your life that God has connected you to. Those are gifts. Those are gifts from God, and they need time and they need investment. And you can't do that fast all the time. You have to be intentional to slow down. And I'm going to speak about something very specific that for me especially takes intentional slowdown in order to avert and avoid the bait of the enemy in this area. And we're going to talk a little about slowing down when the invitation of offense comes in relationships, okay? So think about, and this is going to be a power move that we can develop and we can grow in with our relationships. The idea of when the invitation to offense comes that we can slow down. So I'm going to find a scripture here quick that it says, this is a really good one right here. It says Luke 17:1, it says, Jesus says to his disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. So learning how to dodge and avoid being overtaken by offense or operating out of offense or picking up an offense, like that is a really, really good thing to learn how to do, because Jesus here says it is impossible that no offense will come. So in our relationships, how do we start to become wise and slow down when we have an opportunity for offense? I was in a scenario one time with some people that I loved, and there I was in a meeting, and there was a comment that was made that felt passive aggressive, and so I addressed it and felt justified in doing so. But when I did it, I felt the air kind of go out of the room, and I felt it didn't bring what I wanted to bring to that environment. And so after the call, I was really processing and praying with the Lord and going, okay, God, how do we do this? How do I do this different? And I actually was reading Proverbs at the time, and this scripture hit me so hard. It says, it's Proverbs 12, 16 through 18. It says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. An honest witness tells the truth, but false witness tells lies. This is the part, this is a really important part too. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Anytime we are offended, I'll just speak for myself. Anytime I am offended, I am not a voice of healing. I am defensive. I'm wanting to protect myself. And so I am much more a pierce like sword type of person in those moments. Like, it's where my head is at. And I've gotten a lot better about not being overtly piercing, but understanding that when I have offense in my heart or I'm picking up an offense, that I'm not able in that moment to be a voice of healing the way that I have the opportunity to be, because I'm looking out for myself. And so this, for me though, I have to, and this is where the slowdown part comes, I have to be slow to speak. I mean, this is actually this is a scripture, James 1, 19 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And so in those moments of opportunity where you have an invitation to be offended in that relationship, God is inviting you to slow down and figure out what is going on. And I have to be super intentional in those moments now when I feel myself get hot or I feel myself get offended, to go, okay, slow down. First of all, resist the offense, and then think, what does this opportunity need? How can I be a voice of healing in this moment instead of reckless with a sword? How can I bring healing to whatever is happening? And so many times, you guys, when things are said to us or people bring attitudes at us or someone is passive aggressive or something is done, so many times, most of the time, it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing at all to do with us. But we pick it up and we take it on, and then the conflict ensues, and then we get swept into it, and then it does have something to do with us. But so often when it starts out, it doesn't have anything to do with us. And so slowing down in those moments is such a power move that God teaches us to do. Slow down, not so you can get your ammo together so that you can win or protect yourself, but slow down and ask God in those moments, how can I be a voice of healing instead of just defending myself or defensive? How can I bring healing to this environment? How much would that change our relationships if we started to resist picking up offenses and started to try to be a voice of healing? So, there is so much that we can talk about with slowing down spiritually. There is so much that we can talk about with slowing down in our relationship with God and slowing down in our relationship with people. But first of all, it's what we started with, right, guys? This idea that you have permission. You have permission to slow down with God every day. You not only do you have permission, you have all the power. And we are so beautifully responsible for what we do with that. And that's not a pressure thing. That is absolutely an empowerment thing, that we are 100% responsible for slowing down with God, for slowing down with the Father, for slowing down in our relationships when we need to invest in positive ways, to invest in those people that we love, to invest in God as we slow down with Him. And I guarantee you, as you continue to develop this habit of slowing down with the Father, of slowing down with people that we love, of going counterculture to everything that we're taught in so many ways, that God will grow you and He will develop you and He will speak to you and He will heal you and He will develop relationship with you and you will learn to walk with Him and talk with Him in your life as we take time to slow down. So I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray that we can continue to pick up a value for slowing down in all of the right now places. Now, we are not talking about laziness. God doesn't like laziness, but He does like us to slow down and be with Him. And how much more will we get out of this life? How much better would life be in every way if we continue to start to prioritize that incredible gift of being with the Father on a daily basis? So God, I just pray, Father, You are a good Father. And I just pray as each of us are listening to this, God, that our hearts will be stirred, that we will be so invited and so encouraged, God, to run to You, to be with You, that we will be so encouraged to continue to develop skills and habits and build muscles of going to the right place first and then living out of that, to slow down and be with You spiritually. This is a simple message. How many of us have heard for our whole lives of slowing down and being with You? But God, I pray that this time that we hear about it, God, that something changes, Father, that something changes where we pick up the ownership of that like never before, God, never before. We pick up the value of that like never before. And You help, God, help people, Father. Help them if whatever the barrier or the obstacle may be, God, to just break through, to today be a day where it becomes a priority. And if you never made a commitment to Jesus, if you have never started a relationship with Your Heavenly Father, if you're like, I don't even know how to start this. This is the perfect way to start, is to begin a relationship with the Father. So if that is you, we want to pray with you right now. We want to give you an opportunity to start that relationship. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for our sins. He did everything that He needs to do in order to make a way possible for us to have a relationship with God. And so right now, we want to pray with you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. We acknowledge that we need You, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we can't do this life without You. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we receive salvation. We know that it is a gift, that it is not because of anything that we have done, that it is all because of what Jesus did, that He died on the cross and He paid the price for our sins so that we could have a relationship with You, our Heavenly Father. So right now, we receive that gift and we begin an intimate relationship with the God of the universe that you now can call Father. God, thank You for salvation. Thank You for relationship with You. And thank You that we are not alone on this journey. God, we pray, God, that You help us to slow down in all the right places so that we can maximize this life. We can operate the way You created us to, in a place, from a place of rest, from a place of fruitfulness, from a place of of delight, God, that we can operate from those places and not just be longing to someday get there, Father. Thank you for continuing to teach us in such practical and intimate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we love you guys. This has just been a delight to spend time with you today in this way. And we can't wait to see you next week. Remember, again, we are not at Kellogg next week. So don't show up there. We will be here online. We'll all be hanging out online only next week. So if you normally come to Kellogg, remember not to be there. And if you're normally online, hey, we'll all be hanging out here together next week. So we'll see you next week. Love you. God bless.